Stress management fails for European banks.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, in for Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective. A series of stress tests on European banks is causing a lot of stress this morning. That in spite of the fact the results seemed pretty good. 82 out of 90 European banks were deemed strong enough to survive another financial crisis. Our own Stephen Beer joins us live now from London. Good morning, Stephen.
Hello, Stacey.
So just to start out very basically, what exactly is a stress test?
Well, it poses the question, what if the worst case scenario occurs, like a recession? Which banks would not have enough money to cope? So you identify the weaker banks and get them to beef up their capital before the next crisis. You may recall the US ran stress tests in 2009, and they were credited with helping restore confidence in the banking system after the near meltdown of 2008.
Right. But these European tests haven't been so successful. Is that right?
No, that's right. They're the second set run by the European regulator. The first were widely derided as too soft. The second were tougher, but many analysts say they're still not tough enough. For example, the worst case scenario does not include a debt default by a European government like Greece, which is the one thing, of course, many investors fear may be imminent. Karsten Brzeski of the ING Bank told the BBC in Brussels why the regulator had ignored the possibility of default or restructuring.
This is a political thing because for a long while, debt restructuring in a European country was simply a no-go in European institutions. So this is why politically they didn't dare to test it.
There's another analyst here who says this European stress test is beginning to resemble the Irish driving test in the 1980s. If you failed it once, you took it again. If you failed it a second time, they gave you the license anyway, which he says might explain the high number of car crashes in Ireland.
Our own Stephen Beard from London. Only you could have an Irish driving test in comparison, Stephen. Thank you.
Okay, Stacey.
The markets do seem to be feeling a little stressed this morning. London's FTSE is off 1%. Germany's DAX is down 1.2%. Shares of Rupert Murdoch's News Corp hit a two-year low in overseas markets as investigations into phone hacking continue to widen. U.S. markets ended last week on an up note. The Dow Jones Industrial Average climbed 0.3% to close at 12,479. The National Labor Relations Board, which makes rules governing the workplace, is holding hearings today on new rules for union elections. Namely, unions say it takes too long to organize worker votes. Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more.
The NLRB says the new rules would make the union voting process more efficient for workers and employers. Peter Kersenau will represent the National Association of Manufacturers at the hearings. He says if union elections are streamlined, employers won't have enough time to make their case to workers.
It's not mere streamlining. It's not mere tweaking. This will make it profoundly easier for unions to organize.
Right now, it takes an average of 57 days to organize a unionization vote. Kate Bronfenbrenner is a labor expert at Cornell University. She says employers often create disputes with unions to delay these elections. She says they use that time to convince workers to vote no.
That if you do not streamline and have the elections happen as soon as possible, workers are going to give up.
More than 60 people are scheduled to testify at the hearings. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation, supporting customer choice and clean, efficient energy sources and technologies, working with customers nationwide to create a sustainable energy future. Constellation.com. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at JaguarUSA.com.
We talked a little earlier about some of the troubles in Europe. European leaders are meeting again this week to discuss debt problems in Greece, Italy, Ireland, Portugal, and Spain. Meanwhile, those countries are doing what they can to raise money. Spain is selling off a number of its assets, including its national lottery. From Madrid, Lauren Freyer reports.
Apart from bullfighting, flamenco, and tapas, few things are as quintessentially Spanish as gambling. Spain's Lotería is the biggest national lottery in the world. It gave out $8 billion in prize money last year. Fernando Fernandez is an economist at Madrid's IE Business School.
We like to gamble a lot. We have this sort of confidence that at some point something will happen and then our whole life will be changed. In a way, a very Catholic or religious, we believe in fate.
By tradition, Catholic orphans, thought to be less prone to cheating, sing out the winning numbers for the most famous televised drawing called El Gordo, the Fat One. With El Gordo tickets nearly $300 a pop, the lottery's revenues are pushing $14 billion a year. But Spain itself is in a deep recession. So this fall, the government will sell the first 30% of shares in La Lotería. Fernandez says the trick will be to keep profits flowing to the government, either as a minority shareholder or through taxes.
Are you sure you're going to get the same money through taxes over the medium term? That you're not selling the jewels of the crown now because you're desperate, and then we'll see that the coffers are empty.
Spain's lottery has an unofficial AAA bond rating, better than Spain's treasury, partly because when recession hits, people actually buy more lottery tickets. Pawnbrokers offer to buy gold jewelry off old ladies lining up at a lottery kiosk in downtown Madrid. Julio Elmiñana is out of work but still plays the lottery. His numbers never come up, but he's confident a big win is just around the corner.
But we have hope. I want to have money to pay my own business. Then I play for that. We believe in this.
And that kind of attitude is just what the Spanish government is gambling on. The IPO for the lottery is due by the first week of November. In Madrid, I'm Lauren Freyer for Marketplace.
And finally, no question the Women's World Cup final was a heartbreaker for the U.S., but it did set some records. The face-off between the U.S. and Japan was the most tweeted event ever, more than 7,000 TPS. That's tweets per second, in case you didn't get the memo. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Shoplifting comes to $12 billion a year in this country, but times are hard. Surely people are just trying to get by.
It's not driven by need, as in Jean Valjean, I'd like to steal a loaf of bread.
Oh, I'm Kai Rizdahl, the psychology of shoplifting. Next time on Marketplace, we'll have the day's business news as well, the numbers from Wall Street, too. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.